My name is Kendall Rasnick.
In our program today, we're looking at the idea that God is immutable. And that may seem like kind of a funny word or a word that you're not really used to, but that's okay. We'll explain what we're talking about. This is one of a series of programs that we're doing at Truth for the World regarding who is God. It's so important to know God and His attributes instead of trying to define them ourselves. Instead of looking within ourselves to say, I think God would be like this, and I think God would do this, or I think God would do that, why don't we go to God's Word, the Bible, and let God explain who He is and what He desires for our life. The plan for today's program, we're going to look at some of the different attributes of God. First of all, we're going to look at the idea that God is self-existent. And then we're going to talk about the idea that God is infinite, that He is eternal, and that will help us to understand that God is immutable. Now, some of these things we've talked about in some other programs, such as holiness of God, God is eternal. So if you haven't seen those programs, I recommend that you watch those programs when you can as well. But today we're going to build up to the idea of God's immutability and then ask the question, what does God's immutability mean to me? We want to bring it home and say, now that we've looked at all these things, what does that really mean to me in my life? Well, first we're going to look at the idea that God is self-existent. God is self-existent, meaning that He is the first cause uncaused. He is the first cause that caused the universe and everything to come into existence. He is the source of all that lives. Let's look at what the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 24. If you have your Bibles, won't you open them with me? And let's read along in Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. God is the source of all life and the source of all things that are here in the universe. In John chapter 1, we're going to flip over to there and start reading in verses 1 through 3. In John chapter 1, let's read verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God is responsible for all things that were made, and there is not anything made that was not made by God. So that's what we're talking about, is the idea that God is the first cause. And God is uncaused as well. He's the first cause in that He is the cause of everything in the universe coming into existence. As we looked at in another program as well, God's name even references causative action. The word Yahweh is the name of the God of Israel, and the vocalization Yahweh could theoretically be dealing with a word that's causative, a verb inflection of the root HWH, with a meaning something like He who causes to exist or who gives life. This is coming from Names of God from JewishEncyclopedia.com. The root idea of the word perhaps being to breathe, and hence to live. And doesn't that make sense when we look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, where it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." When God breathes into something, it becomes alive. It is living. As a matter of fact, the Bible is described as that as well, that it is quick, it is alive, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. So when God breathes into this book, it is alive. When God breathes into man, he becomes alive. God is the source of life. He is the first cause. So He, again, is the first cause in that He's the cause of everything in the universe coming into existence. But we also say that He is uncaused because no one caused Him to come into existence. Instead, He is eternal. He always existed, He exists, and He always will exist. We're contingent, meaning that we rely upon God and other people to exist. It wasn't even my idea to come into existence. That was up to some other people. But God is non-contingent. He relies upon no one to exist. And God is also infinite. So God is not only the first cause and uncaused, He's eternal and self-existent, but He is also infinite. Let's look at the definition of infinite. It's important to note that it means subject to no limitation or external determination. Subject to no limitation, not subject to external determination. So in that regard, God, as we'll see more of later, is not determined by outside sources. God is not determined by things that are outside of Him. We can look at three ways that God is infinite, as is commonly done. God is infinite in His presence. We may say that He is omnipresent. He is not restricted by time and space like we are. I like to travel, but one of the things that's required of travel is time. You got to take time to get to a certain place, and then you got to travel across distance. Well, those aren't things that restrict God. God can see what's going on at any place, at any time. So God is omnipresent. God is infinite in His knowledge as well. We say that God is omniscient. He's infinite in His knowledge. His knowledge does not run out. There is nothing that is really unknown that God cannot know about. And therefore, we call Him omniscient. And thirdly, God is infinite in His power. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God is not restricted to a certain amount of power or a certain amount of strength. God is infinite in His power. And God is also eternal. That's kind of along the same idea of what we were looking at, is that He is self-existent. Since God's existence had no beginning, He will have no ending. He always was, always is, and always will be. No one caused Him to be. He simply exists or is existence. The Scriptures refer to God as being eternal as well. If we were to turn in our Bibles to Psalm chapter 90, let's read verses 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. You understand what everlasting means. It doesn't run out. God always was God, God is God, and God always will be God. In Exodus chapter 3, let's read verse 14. As Moses is talking to God, he asks God, "Who will I say sent me down to release the Israelites? You want me to go down and tell the Israelites that we're leaving Egypt, but who shall I say sent me?" God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Well, you understand what I am means. That's pretty basic English. It means I exist. I am. Am is a form of the verb to be. I exist. God is saying, I am, or I am existence, hath sent me unto you. Moses, when they want to know who sent you, you tell them, I am sent you. The existence, the eternal being. We need to have an eternal being to make sense of this world and this universe. The universe, we understand, is not eternal. It had a beginning. So in that regard, who was here to get it started? Well, many people say, well, nothing was here. Nothing exploded, and here we are. Well, if you want to believe that, you can believe that, but I'm not going to fall prey to that illogic. That's not very logical to say nothing exploded, and here we are. But yet so many people believe that. I believe there must have been something eternal, someone eternal that has always existed to start this finite, limited, not eternal universe going, to get it started. I believe, as Exodus 3:14 says, the great existence, the eternal existence known as God, is what was there to get the universe started. Okay, now we've gone over several things. So let's recap real quickly here so we understand where we are. We're looking at the idea that God is eternal. He always has existed. We looked at the idea that God is infinite. He is not limited, as so many things are. He's infinite in His power, in His knowledge, and in His presence. And we also looked at the idea that God is eternal. He always was, is, and will be. So now it should make sense. Our next point is God is immutable. And there really doesn't have to be a ton of argument or a ton of evidence to show that God is immutable, because the previous points that we've looked at pretty much always already prove it. Let's define what immutable really means, though, before we get ahead of ourselves. When I say God is immutable, what in the world does that really mean? Well, the immutability of God certainly doesn't need any proof, but let's define it first. Immutable means that God is not capable of or susceptible to change. Now, let's look at this definition for just a moment. God is not capable of change, or it means He's not susceptible or likely to be changed. So what we're talking about here is God's unchanging nature. That's what immutable really means. God is unchanging. Sometimes you may hear a song sung, or you may sing the song yourself. Hold to God's unchanging hand. That's what we're talking about. God's immutability really means His lack of change, not being capable of or susceptible to change. Now, once again, let's think about this logically. The immutability of God certainly needs no proof after you recognize that He is self-existent, eternal, and infinite. If He always has existed, if He always has been here, and He's infinite in His power, in His wisdom, His knowledge, and His presence, then He's not really going to be susceptible to change. He always was who He is. He is, and He always will be who He is. Let's take a look at some graphics here that may help us to understand this a little better. We're going to put these up on the screen so that you can see these clearly. And we're going to look at this idea about God being immutable. If you'll look at this graphic here, let's put this up full screen, and you will see that in the center of the circle is the idea of God. Okay? So here you've got a circle on the screen. Imagine God inside that circle. We're going to list some of the attributes of God. He is self-existent. That means He relied upon no one to be here. He always was here, is here, and always will be here. So now outside the circle, if you're not looking at this on the screen, just imagine this in your mind. Inside the circle is the word self-existent. Outside the circle are all kinds of things in the world, such as man's ideas, the strength of an army, Satan's ideas, the discoveries of man, man's strength, society's ideas, or contingent beings. In other words, beings like you and me, beings that relied upon somebody else to be here. Now, if all those types of worldly things and earthly things are outside the circle, do they really affect who God is? In other words, do those things outside the circle really affect what's inside the circle? Do contingent beings or the strength of an army really change God's self-existence? Did they cause Him to be self-existent or not to be self-existent? Well, if you think about it, it's pretty obvious. Those things outside the circle really have no bearing upon what's inside the circle. The strength of some army does not change who God is. Society's ideas, let's say society gets together and takes a vote on who God is. Does that really change who God is? If God is self-existent and was here before the universe began, do you think that a popular straw poll vote in society is going to change who God is? That's pretty far-fetched if you ask me. So the idea that God is self-existent is not determined by things outside that circle. Let's go on and look at the idea that God is infinite. God is infinite. Remember, the definition of infinite included not subject to external determination. This is the idea that nothing external from the being makes the being what it is. In other words, if I were infinite, you might say nothing outside of me really affects who I am. Now, God said He is infinite, so are we going to find things outside of God determining who He is? No. Are man's discoveries going to change the fact that God is all-powerful? Are society's ideas about God, or anything for that matter, going to change the idea that God is omnipotent and all-powerful? Is the strength of an army going to change the fact that God is omnipresent and going to be at all places at any time he wants? What about Satan's ideas? Do Satan's ideas affect the idea that God is infinite in his wisdom, that his omniscience is changed in one iota based on what Satan thinks? No, that's absolutely ridiculous. So once again, the ideas outside the circle do not affect God who is inside the circle. He's not subject to these external ideas to change who he is. Man can imagine God any way he wants, but that doesn't change who God is. It only changes man's perception of God. Let's go on and look at the idea that God is eternal. Remember, the idea of eternal means that God is outside of time. Time really doesn't affect an eternal being because there is no time in eternity. 2 Peter 3:8 says that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Now, too many people take that verse and try to use some mathematical formula to figure out the end of the world and when it's going to be. Well, that's not even at all what this verse is talking about. If you look at the entire verse, it says a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. That means they don't matter. One is just like the other. They're not proper measurements to God. Time is just that. It's a measurement. I measure time by days and hours and months. But to God, a day is just like 1,000 years. You can't measure time when you're eternal. So when we look at time constraints, does that change God's eternal nature? Absolutely not. Time and the way we measure time and the constraints that we live in under time, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day and I only have so much time to get things done. To God, that has no bearing whatsoever. He's eternal. So once again, we see that the things outside of the circle do not affect the things inside the circle. It therefore makes sense. If God is self-existent, think about this. If God is self-existent, he has always been here. No one caused him to come into being. It wasn't up to anybody else to determine whether or not God would be. And God is infinite. He's infinite in his power. No one is more powerful than God. He's infinite in his knowledge. No one is more knowledgeable than God. And he's infinite in his presence. No one can be anywhere at any time like God can be. And God is eternal. God is not constrained by time in any sense of the word. It therefore follows that he will remain unchanged forever. Do you see that? There are no external forces outside of God that can change who he is. There's no external forces that will cause God to come into existence. There's no external forces that can be more powerful than his infinite nature. And there's no external forces that will change him over time because he's eternal. God is the way he is now. God is the way he is then. And God is the way he is tomorrow. And that will never change. And that's exactly what the definition of immutable means. The immutability of God needs no proof after one recognizes he is self-existent, eternal, and infinite. Therefore, God is immutable. He's not susceptible to change. God always does what is right because he is omniscient. He's all-knowing and he's holy. He's perfect. God continues doing right forever because God is eternal. He always will be here and he'll always do what's right. Think about this for a second. If God always does what is right because he is holy, and God continues doing what is right forever because he is eternal, then God will always do what's right forever and cannot change from this. Therefore, God is immutable. And this isn't just something that I came up with. This isn't an idea or an attribute where I decided, well, I think God is like this. Some of it is logical. As we learn from the scriptures about God being holy and infinite and so forth, we can figure out that God must be immutable. But the Bible even tells us pretty much in its own words that God is immutable. So lest you take it from me that God will be perfect and right and always do what's right forever, let's take a look at a few verses here in the Bible to show you that God says in his own words that he is immutable. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, let's look at chapter 3 and verse 6. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Well, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? How about James chapter 1 and verse 17? This is a great verse to talk about the immutability of God. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God doesn't vary. There's no variableness. He's not an evil God one day and a good God the next day. There's no shadow of Him turning around because it doesn't change. Who He is today is who He is tomorrow. How about Psalm 102? The book of Psalm, chapter 102, and verse 25 through 27. There we read, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." The earth may grow old, and it may get older, but God, guess what? You're not changing. You're the same. The years shall have no end with you. How about Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8? Hebrews 13 and verse 8. That simply says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." That means Jesus' character and His attributes and His nature does not change. Why? Because He's God, and God is immutable. So let's bring all this home. To me, I find this interesting, and maybe you do as well, looking at the idea that God is immutable based on what we read in Scripture and based on the other attributes of God. But what does that really mean to me? What does that do for me in my life? Perhaps one of the most important lessons is God defines Himself. That's so important for us to think about. Instead of using phrases like, "I don't think God would be like that." Have you ever heard that said? If we maybe talk about eternal punishment and hell and someone says, "Well, I don't think God would be like that. I don't think God would be this kind of God." Or, "I don't think God would do that." You know, those kind of statements are pretty much irrelevant if they're not based in God's own definitions. How about we go to God and ask Him who He is? As a matter of fact, we looked at the idea that God is infinite. God is not subject to external determination. In other words, society's ideas can change. Man's ideas can change. We can have a unanimous vote of all 7+ billion people on the planet that God is like this. But that doesn't make it true. Our beliefs and definitions of God and who we imagine God to be doesn't make Him that way. God was here before we are, and God will be here after this earth is over. Why would God change? And God does not change, even based on our own opinion. The truth is, God defines Himself. God is immutable. It therefore follows also that His Word is immutable. Why do we put so much emphasis on the Word of God? Because it's not going to change. You see, you can look at man's creed book and say, "You need to do this to be saved." But 10 years later, when their conference get together and they take another vote, their words may change, and then you're not saved anymore. You can believe that babies are born innocent and as they are, and then later change your creed book to say babies are born with sin. Well, now, which one is right? How are you going to know when it's the words of man? The words of man change, but the Word of God, if God does not change, His Word is not going to change. Let's look at Matthew 5:18. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." God's Word doesn't change, especially according to what man thinks. What about Matthew 24 and verse 35? "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." The words of man can and must change depending upon what's popular in society. Why do so many denominations and man-made religions change what they believe from year to year? There are religions doing things today that would have been unthinkable for that religion to do just 50 years ago. If someone stood up, for example, in homosexuality and said, "We're going to have homosexual priests and women priests and things like this 50 years ago, they would have probably been drummed out of that religion. But that same religion today is embracing homosexuality. Why? Did God's word change overnight and no one told us? Did God's nature change overnight and no one bothered to inform us? Or are these ideas changing because they're all based on man and popularity? It's because they're man-made. The religion is man-made, and therefore it will change as man changes. Supposedly, someone kept going to church, and I don't know if this story is true, but just using it to illustrate a point. Someone would go to church regularly, and someone asked them, "Don't you get tired of going to church? You keep hearing the same message over and over. Don't you get tired of hearing the same message over and over? Don't you wish you had some change?" And the man responded, "I hope it never changes." Amen to that. I hope that I go to church and God's word never changes, because then how am I ever going to know that I'm saved? If God is immutable, God's word is immutable too. So we need to stop trying to find loopholes and changes and additions and subtractions to God's word. We need to look at it for what it is. And finally, our last point we'll have time to look at today is God's nature is always good. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God looked at the creation and he said this. He had seen everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God is holy and perfect. Therefore, what God does is good. And as we looked before at James 1:17, all good things come from God. James chapter 1, verse 17 says this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is good and God will always be good, and that's why he's offered you salvation. Our sin separates us from God, but through God's sacrifice of his Son, we have a chance at eternal life. If you'll believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you'll repent to follow him, confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized underwater for the forgiveness of your sins, you can rise to walk a new creature, live faithfully to him, knowing that God will always be faithful to you. Why? Because he's immutable. He'll never change. He'll always be good, and he'll always offer you the good path, the good way to the eternal life in heaven with him. Won't you make that decision to follow the immutable, unchanging God, and forever for the rest of your life hold to God's unchanging hand?